Well, here I am at another undisclosed location. You've heard of the new sport of extreme ironing. Well, perhaps this is the, I wasn't say sport because this isn't sport, this is very serious, but perhaps it's going to become extreme preaching, finding places where the word of God can be declared. And it's so thrilling to be able to find somewhere, anywhere, to preach the word of God. Now, I want to add that I'm very grateful to Sermon Audio for the work they do, and also to Rich Moore of the Christian Sermons and Audiobooks page on YouTube, who has been very generous in the way he has posted my sermons and the Christian books I've read and the sermons of others that I've read, and also those of other people. It's a great encouragement. I'm in regular touch with him, and it has been a massive encouragement to me the way he's conducting his work. So I thank God for that. I thank God for that ministry that he has. I want to move on and say that it's my own heart's desire also to preach quite a few of my own sermons in days to come. But right now, as I'm struggling to find a place to preach and looking for places where I can go where I'll have some peace and quiet, because these ministries are particularly aimed at the internet, you know that I preach in the open air as well. You can listen to my sermon, Open Air Preaching in Hull, which I thought was quite encouraging. And I hope that if you listen, it would be an encouragement to you as well. Certainly people were listening to the gospel being preached. And in everything and in all ways, like the Apostle Paul, we want to make the Lord Jesus Christ known. We believe that Christianity is about him. That seems to go without saying, but there are so many who think it's about other things, and increasingly so in this day. If we want to know what a Christian is, we need to find out what Jesus says, who he says is a Christian. And, of course, we know that it's those who have a living relationship with him. Well, the first message I want to record this afternoon is another one by Octavius Winslow, and this was very encouraging. The first one, the book is Soul Heights and Soul Depths, and I was just so thrilled by the first one. But there are more messages in the same book, and the second one, chapter 2, is entitled Prayer Out of Soul Depths, and the text here is Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2, and we read, Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Father, I pray that you bless the preaching of this, or the reading of this sermon, which is hundreds of years old, but which speaks to us today. Father, speak to us, those of us who have soul heights, who are rejoicing in Jesus Christ, full of the glory of knowing him and of the magnitude of what he has done for sinners such as ourselves. And, O Lord, speak to those of us who are plunged into the depths, wondering where God is, wondering how we can carry on, wondering if we really have believed to the saving of our souls. So speak to everyone who listens to this message. Lift up the downcast. Encourage those who are full of rejoicing at this time. And may we all together seek to bring honour and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that your gospel would be preached in this day and generation when so many awful things are going on all around us. Help us to shine as bright lights, as Jesus said, that we should let our lights shine. And, O Lord, just as he said, I am the light of the world, so we are also commissioned by him to be the light of the world. Father, come to us now, bless this reading of this sermon, and encourage each one of us and strengthen us in the battle. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'll read that again, Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2. And we read, Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Very much hoping, by the way, that while I read this, I'm not going to be interrupted or disturbed. It could happen, but God willing, we'll get through this, and it will be a blessing and encouragement to us. So, this is Octavius Winslow, seasons of soul depths are ever seasons of heart prayer in the Christian's experience. At no period does the divine life of the regenerate so strongly and triumphantly vindicate its nature and assert its reality and power as then. This was the case under consideration. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. That must indeed be a depth, a soundless depth of spiritual despondency, in which the soul is either debarred from prayer or is so imprisoned that it cannot send up its cries to God. But this was not the case of David. He gave himself immediately and unreservedly to prayer. I cried unto you, O Lord. What irrefragable evidence he affords of the existence of that spiritual life in the living soul, which cannot die, of that faith in the believing soul, which cannot be repressed, of that divine love in the loving soul, which many waters cannot quench. Communion with God is the outbreathing of the quickened soul, and no distance can arrest or condition stifle it. From the end of the earth will I cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. Deep exercise of soul is often God's mode of rousing the slumbering spirit and quickening the sluggish energy of prayer. Its potency and preeminence are only learned to any great extent when faith is tried, and the heart is overwhelmed, and the soul is plunged into great depths. But sink the soul as it may, the arrow of prayer, feathered with a divine promise, springing from the bow of faith and winged by the power of the Spirit, will overcome every obstacle, pierce every cloud, and fasten itself upon the throne of the eternal God. Was not this the experience of Jonah? I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, his watery grave. Cried I, and you heard me. But a greater than Jonah shall testify, were there ever such fathomless soul depths as Christ's, when as their divine substitute he bore their sins, endured their curse, our curse, their curse, and suffered the wrath of God on behalf of his people. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Behold, he prays, and as he advanced into the tornado of the curse, the storm thickening and darkening around him, as he sank deeper and yet deeper into the mountain billows of divine wrath, the huge breakers surging and foaming around his holy soul, as he exhausted drop by drop the cup of trembling until the very lees touched his quivering lips, lo, he prayed more earnestly. The intensity of his prayer rose with the agony of his spirit. Its earnestness gathered strength with the anguish of his soul. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Sinking, suffering saint, learn the secret of your support. He prayed more earnestly. That's the Lord Jesus we're talking about here on the cross. He prayed more earnestly, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Go you and do likewise. Pray, pray, pray out of the depths of your difficulty. You know, as a Christian, and I've been a Christian for 39 years now, there have been many times when I've been way down in the depths, and the Lord has delivered me out of them all. And he'll deliver you too. Cry to him. Your sorrow, cry mightily unto God. There is no depth so profound, no darkness so dense, no need so pressing, or perplexity so great. But from it you may cry unto God, the Lord inclining his ear to the softest, faintest breathing of your soul. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come near unto him. Cries out of the depths of soul distress have a peculiar eloquence and an irresistible success with God. Just as the plaintive wail of a sick and suffering child reaches and penetrates a parent's heart more quickly and more deeply than all others, it is a beautiful thought embodied in the psalmist's prayer. My soul hangs upon God. Look for a moment at the object upon which the believing, sinking soul thus hangs. It is upon deity. The world around is hanging upon every object but God. Some are hanging upon self, some upon wealth, some upon their intellectual powers, some upon their bodily strength, some upon their long life, some upon the creature, some upon their own righteousness. All are hanging upon some object below Christ and God. How frail and fatal the support! Soon the prop bends, the stirrup breaks, the fulcrum yields. And maybe we would say in our modern world that the car breaks down or the computer crashes. The sands glide away, and great is the fall of him who, suspended upon such created and fragile support, his happiness in this life, and his hope of the life that is to come. But the believing soul, though a desponding and sinking soul, hangs upon God. Listen to the language of David. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Again, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. This is the support of every gracious soul. That's the Coast Guard helicopter going over. And he who hangs not upon this divine support hangs upon air, hangs upon nothing. Listen to Jehoshaphat's prayer in his distress when the mighty hosts of the Ammonites came against him to battle. See how he hung upon God. Quote, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are upon you. And the Lord delivered them into his hand that day. And all that he did was to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And thus was it with Asa, oppressed by a powerful enemy, too strong for his scanty forces. He thus hung upon God in his extremity. Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. And what a nail in a sure place is the Lord Jesus Christ, the true spiritual Eliakim, upon whom the soul may hang its sins and sorrows and hope of glory. I will fasten him, says the Father, as a nail in a sure place, and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, all the vessels. Sin-burdened soul, sinking into depths of guilt and despair, come and hang in faith upon this divine, this most sure nail, and you shall be saved. Put all your faith, all your trust in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone, and you shall be saved. Hang upon him as a personal saviour. Hang upon his blood to cleanse, upon his righteousness to justify, upon his grace to subdue, upon his fullness to supply, upon his willingness and power to save you to the uttermost extent of your sin and guilt. Hang upon God, upon his strength to deliver you, upon his wisdom to counsel you, upon his love to comfort you, upon his infinite resources to meet your every need, and your song shall be, other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on you. Oh, give yourself to prayer. If words fail you, if by reason of the anguish of your spirit, there is no outlet for your feelings, but in the plaintive language of sighs and groans and tears, still, uplift your soul to God in mental supplication and heart-breathing, and your testimony shall be that of David. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my groaning is not hid from you. And thus, when by reason of the anguish of your spirit, the cloud veil of your mind, and the infirmity of your body, you can neither think nor pray, let the reflection cheer you that Jesus is thinking of and praying for you. When I cannot think of Jesus, said a sick one whom he loved, Jesus is thinking of me. Happy thought. It is a truth fraught with the richest comfort that, sink the tried and desponding soul as it may, it can never sink below the everlasting arms of God. God is frequently wont to permit his children to descend into great depths of spiritual and mental conflict. Many of us have been there. Some of us have been there many times. And even temporal need, that he might display his love and power in stooping to their necessity. I was brought low, and he helped me. Bow down your ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be my strong rock for a house of defence to save me. We are but imperfectly aware how low the great God can bend to our case. How condescendingly Christ can stoop to our condition. We may be brought very low. Our case sad and desperate. Riches may flee. Poverty may come upon us as an armed man. Character may be assailed. Children may try. Friends may change. Enemies may wound, death may bereave, and our soul be plunged as into fathomless depths. Nevertheless, sink deep as we may, we shall but sink more deeply into the embrace of Christ. The everlasting arm still underneath us. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. Oh, we must descend into great depths of affliction, of trial, of need, to fathom in some measure the soundless depths of God's love, of the Saviour's fullness, of the Spirit's comfort. And our strong refuge is prayer. Prayer in all depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. From the end of the earth will I cry unto you when my heart is overwhelmed. Oh, give yourself to prayer. No difficulty is too great, no trial too severe to take to Jesus. No difficulty is too great, no trial too severe to take to Jesus. If your sins and guilt appear to you a depth so abysmal that no line could fathom it, remember that God's mercy in Christ Jesus is infinite. That if there are great depths in your sinfulness and unworthiness, there are infinitely greater depths in the sin-forgiving love of God, in the sin-atoning blood, and sinner-justifying righteousness of the Redeemer. Sunk though you are in sin, steeped in crime and guilt, countless and great your departures from God, your rejection of the Saviour, your religious unbelief, stifled convictions and scarred conscience, nevertheless, you have not sunk below the depths of God's love and of Christ's grace. The prodigal had wandered far from his father. He had sunk into great depths of poverty and degradation and need. Yet when he came to himself, he exclaimed, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. And his father saw him a great way off and had compassion and ran and embraced him. I have a son who's a great way off. If I saw him a great way off coming towards me, I would run and embrace him. How much more the Heavenly Father when he embraces me and forgives me for my sin through Jesus Christ. He saw him a great way off and had compassion and ran and embraced him. That Father is your Heavenly Father and waits to enfold you to his loving and forgiving heart. Depth of mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. Jesus answered from above, is not all your nature love? Will you not the wrong forget? Suffer me to kiss your feet. If I rightly read your heart, if you all compassion art, now your ear in mercy bow, pardon and accept me now. But prayer is necessary not only when in our debts, but to be preserved from them. and to prayer must be united sleepless vigilance. Watch and pray is our Lord's twofold injunction, given on the most impressive occasion and amid the most affecting circumstances of his life. The calling of a child of God is high and holy. It is all the more essential that he should walk carefully, watchfully and prayerfully, lest his feet slide, and thus losing his steadfastness in the faith and his close communion with God, he fall into the depths of Satan, the seductions of the flesh and the allurements of the world. Not to mention the temptations of the internet in our day. And so plunging into depths of doubt, darkness and despondency, the path of spiritual declension, that's spiritual sliding into sin and away from Christ for the believer, is a slope plane, each step accelerating the rapidity of the soul's descent. It commences at the closet, the restraining of prayer, especially private devotion. I'm going to read that again. It commences in the closet, the restraining of prayer, especially private devotion. We don't see a need for prayer. We don't take time for prayer. We are distracted from prayer. And so we don't pray. That's where it starts. It's the first stage in the decay and declension of the believer in the divine life. Soon will follow the fascination and power of the world. And when the world enters like a flood, Christ and prayer and eternal realities are swept before its impetuous torrent. Alas, I've been there and seen that. It's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. It's not somewhere we want to be as Christians. It's somewhere we want to eschew, but somewhere we want to put away. It doesn't lead to happiness, it leads to disaster. Christ and prayer and eternal realities are swept before its impetuous torrent. Then the gracious soul is stranded upon the bleak, rock-bound coast of bitter remorse and dark despair. What an appalling picture does the inspired penman draw of the final condition of the unregenerate apostate from his profession of Christ and the faith. So, Octavius Winslow is looking here not at the believer who's backsliding. Who can look exactly like this, but of the person who's professed faith, but their faith was never real, it was never genuine. And so they professed faith in Christ, they sprang up with joy, but they had no root, and they withered away. And he's talking about the person who may have gone to church, may have fellowshiped with the people of God, but now it's to be seen that there was no depth of truth in their heart, there was no real saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The unregenerate, fraudulent Christian who now has gone back like a sow to wallow in the mire or a dog to its vomit. We'll carry on with Winslow. And were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Let me read it from the beginning. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened. This is from Hebrews. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. These are some of the most disturbing, frightening words in the whole of Scripture. Whatever interpretation these awful declarations will admit, and to the truly regenerate, they cannot by any ingenuity of criticism or justness of exegesis properly apply, not to the true believer, since a true child of God, though he may sadly backslide and be sorely chastened, cannot finally perish. They yet are words of solemn significance, well calculated to fill the soul of the Christian professor and even the true believer with holy trembling, rousing him to the imperious and difficult task of unswerving self-vigilance and unwearied prayer. The present chapter speaks pointedly and solemnly to the unconverted reader, the unconverted listener. There is beyond this present life a death awfully and significantly termed the bottomless pit. It is the final and eternal doom of all who die, excuse me, out of Christ. It is immeasurable and soundless. No line of grace can fathom it. No arm of mercy can reach it. No voice of love ever wakes its echoes, and eternity alone will see the end of its woe. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. The wicked shall be turned into hell. But is there no escape from a final and eternal doom so appalling? Listen to the voice of divine love. Save him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That ransom is the atoning blood of Jesus. And he, the sinner's ransomer, but in faith, hasten to Christ, the city of refuge, and you shall be saved from the wrath that is to come. Oh, blessed thought! No poor awakened sinner ever betook himself to that divine refuge and found the door closed against him. You're saying, I want to come to Jesus, but I can't. Well, it's not Jesus who's stopping you. The door is open. He says, come unto me. Come to Jesus. Come to him now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Soon the soul desponding saint will ascend from the lowest depths of earth to the loftiest height of heaven. Long before the body springs from the dust, your soul, O believer, will have taken its place amid the blood-ransomed throng, clustering in shining ranks around the throne of God and the Lamb, and reviewing all the way the Lord your God led you. Through the wilderness and across the desert, you shall blend the old song of free grace with the new song of eternal glory and exclaim, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Pardon, my master, pardon for my weakness, thus shrinking, fainting beneath my Father's rod. O grant to me your pure and patient meekness. Sincerely would I say, no will but yours, O God. Even as a reed by the roughest tempest shivered, trembling I bend before your chastening breath, and lo, within my heart faith's flame has quivered until all seems shadowed like a veil of death. I strive to walk the stormy wave, upheaving its angry might, but sink wherever I tread. I know your covenant sure, but scarce believing, still hangs upon my breast, my aching head. Your promises, like countless stars, are shining. I see them not, for the clouds the heavens obscure. I wrestle hard against each vain repining, and fear to murmur when I would endure. Come to my help, O Master, once in sorrow, my more than brother, King of glory, now, even in my tears, a gleam of hope I borrow from deep scars, from the deep scars around your radiant brow. Come to my help, as once God's angels hasten to cheer you in your midnight agony. O Lord of angels, by man's suffering chastened, forget not I am dust, infirmity. Come to me quickly, even as you have spoken your faithful word. Let me but hear your voice. Say you are with me, and the heart, all broken again with holy gladness, shall rejoice. Now round the bruised reed your grace enwreathing, upward to heaven once more I shall aspire. Now on my darkened soul your spirit breathing, brightly shall flame again the failing fire. Walk you the wave with me, the tempest stilling. Let me but feel the clasping of your strength, your righteous strength through all my pulses thrilling. Nor shall I fear to reach the shore at length. Beam forth, O morning star, in mercy glorious, with your day promise from the troubled sky. Hold forth the fadeless crown and palm victorious, you who have fought and won to cheer my eye. What means that strain, sweeter than angels singing? Oh, can it be your own responsive word, mysterious music on my senses ringing? Fear not, you trembler, for your prayer is heard. For your prayer is heard. And that's the end of that chapter, chapter 2. I have been so thrilled to read this. It's done so much for me, and I've no doubt it will continue to do so as I consider it and dwell upon it. In the depths we cry to God, and when we cry to God from the depths, he hears us, he loves us, he's near at hand. His love is infinite, and his mercy is infinite, and nothing can separate us from that love. So we have great cause for rejoicing and thanksgiving. And if we are in darkness at the moment, and if we are in great trouble and trials of affliction, as many of us may be, then we need to hold on to this, because the Lord will surely come and deliver us, and he'll surely come and have mercy upon us. So commit your way to the Lord. Have strong confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and dwell much upon what he has done for you, what he's done for me. But if you don't know Jesus, I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is a living Saviour. I can say with the Apostle Paul that he loved me and gave himself for me. And that love has sustained me for the last 39 years, and it will sustain me for eternity. With John Newton, I could sing, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me home. Oh, trust in Jesus, and all that grace and all those riches of God will be yours in him. Repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will deliver you forever from the wrath to come and translate you into his glory. Amen.